Okay, good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Grace Hour. It's been a great week. We've been talking a lot about the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. For those of you who are new to our program, this is a Christian program that dives into the daily challenges that happen and the ups and downs that happen in our life with God. And we learn how to walk with God by faith in a practical way, by His Spirit, in His mind, with His love. My name is Pastor Rinaldo Brown, and I'm here in studio with Pastor Shabelli. And we're talking about peacemakers. We're talking about the Beatitudes. And today, the Beatitude we're talking about is found in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. We'd love you to chime in, to join in the conversation. Don't just be a passive listener. Join in, get engaged, be involved. You can write into us at gracehour.org or YouTube or Facebook. You can log on with your questions or your comments, or you can email us at questions@gracehour.org, and you can call us at 1-800-338-7060 or locally 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear your portion on the Grace Hour, but we're going to begin with a thought from Pastor Shabelli.
Well, we've got a number of producer notes up there, which I think are great. And it gives us some idea, thought pattern for the program. The first one was, what does it mean when he says, what does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are the peacemakers? Mm-hmm. First of all, let's define what it means to be blessed. It doesn't mean like how healthy you are or how financially well off you are. Mm-hmm. But blessed means you are well spoken of by God. Eulogeo, well spoken of. That God thinks well of me and speaks well of me. I think that's very important. Sometimes people go through incredible turmoils in their lives, and they get under this kind of mental attack, and they have a poor self-image, and mm-hmm. they beat themselves up all the time. Well, here's what it says here. God says you're blessed. You're well spoken of. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not that you have to be a peacemaker to be blessed, because we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Ephesians 1:3.
Yes.
So we are blessed. God speaks well of us. And so God is interested in us being peacemakers. And I think first and foremost, do I have peace with God? Mm-hmm. Do I have peace with God? This is so important. Peace, E-I-R-E-N-U-O, something like that in mm-hmm. that realm. It means to have harmony with God's nature and God's character and God's word. There's a harmony. It's a harmonious relationship, is how it's described in Greek dictionaries, a harmonious relationship. I have harmony with God. We're singing the same tune, and we're in perfect harmony. Oh. There's some people that sing, and by the way, they don't even know how to harmonize. I mean, their voices are just like way out of whack. But a harmonious relationship, uh-huh. that's what peace is. And then those people are blessed, and this is important. So I have the peace of God.
Sure.
Because I'm born again, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and the Holy Spirit is a bringer of God's nature and character. So if the Holy Spirit lives in us, there is a great foundation for peace in every one of our lives.
That's good.
Very good. Very important. Peace with God. I'm born again, I have peace with God. Mm-hmm. Now I want to continue with a experiential peace. We're talking about positional peace with God. Now, if I want to experience God, I have to be a receiver of His word, His nature, and His character, the grace of God, a receiver of His eternal purpose, so that there's an experiential peace with God. Mm-hmm. I can have a positional peace with God. Everyone does who's born again. Mm-hmm. And by the way, everyone who's not born again has no peace. I don't care how they manufacture right. it with their ideas about what peace is, mm-hmm. having money, older age, good health, being a star, sports star, mm-hmm. something that they elevate in society. But they have no peace with God.
Really?
They're walking around, they can be the most prestigious person in the world. President of the United States, doesn't matter. Governor of Maryland, okay. Mayor of Baltimore. If there's no pastors, if there's no peace with God, mm-hmm. then how can I have peace with anybody else? If I have no peace with God, then the peace that I have with other people is a peace that's sourced in my old sin nature,
wow.
the good side of my old sin nature. Mm-hmm. It's a fabricated peace based upon bios life, based upon thinking the same way. We have peace in our marriage because we both like Chevy Novas. We both like a certain type of car. So there's peace in our marriage, you know, or whatever. I have peace with my wife because I shovel the snow. I have peace with my wife because I bring her flowers. I have peace with my wife because I remember her birthday.
Well done.
And we want to do those things too. But blessed are the peacemakers. So I have peace with God, and God has made peace by the blood of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know the verse on that, Colossians chapter 1, mm-hmm. and it's the peace that is made by the blood of the cross. Now, as I receive Jesus Christ into my life, there's a harmonious relationship that begins to develop. There's harmony between me and God. I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. God speaks well of me. I speak well of God. We have a relationship. What are the theological implications of this beatitude? What are the theological implications? Well, simply, if I have peace with God, I'm going to have peace with my brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and I'm going to bring the gospel of peace.
Yes.
So number one, here's the theological implication. I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to have a relationship with the church, his body. Then I'm going to have a relationship with the gospel mm-hmm. and lost people. Not a relationship that I am doing what they do to make peace,
okay.
but a peace with a message for the gospel. So these are the theological implications of this beatitude. Peace with God,
mm-hmm.
peace with Christians and the church, and peace with bringing the gospel of peace. And now to practically understand this beatitude, well, I think I've explained that pretty much simply and practically how we understand this. And a practical person in my life today, I wake up and I have a positional peace with God, but I want to, what, get a confession of my sin. I want to bring forth thoughts of things that I have not walked with God in, because sin will be a barrier to having peace with God. My old sin nature and sin.
Okay.
He's crucified the old sin nature. That's for sure, Galatians 2:20-21.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been crucified. But I want to have peace with God in my experience with God. This is very important to practically understand that. So I've got peace with God today. I've confessed my sin. I've said, God, show me areas and where I'm not walking with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mix faith with what you show me and how the word describes it. And I want to have peace with God in my walk with God. Then I want to have peace with people around me, whether they're saved people or lost people.
Right.
I definitely can have a peaceful relationship. Unless, of course, somebody's living in sin
mm-hmm.
and they want me to agree with what they're doing in their life. No, I'm not going to agree. I'm not going to have peace with them just to agree and say what you're doing is okay
mm-hmm.
when it's not okay. Then what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Does it mean I need to be a mediator?
There's a difference between a peacemaker and a mediator.
Yes.
A peacemaker is one that encourages dialogue towards peace.
Mm-hmm.
A mediator is the one who makes the peace possible. Like a Christian can be a peacemaker, but Christ is the mediator.
He's the mediator, yes. There's one mediator between God and man.
That's right.
And this is so important. So I've got peace by the blood of mm-hmm. finished work. I've got peace in the Holy Spirit if I'm born again. I want to have peace in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to really bring, I want to have peace in me, obviously.
Yes.
And I want to bring this gospel of peace. And remember this, peace is not only personal, it's eternal. Eternal and personal go mm-hmm. together.
Right.
What's eternal is personal. I want to have this harmonious relationship with God. What gets in the way? The world system.
Okay.
The old sin nature and the devil and his demons.
Hmm.
That's what gets in the way. So, in other words, if somebody is living in adultery,
mm-hmm.
I can have peace with them. Well, no, I cannot. I can have peace with their position.
Okay.
And I can minister to them from their position. But I can't have peace with their experience.
Okay.
God hates that. God hates sin. God died. He hates it so much, he shed his own blood for sin. So there's no peace with them experientially. In other words, like if a person is living as a drug user, a person is living in sexual immorality, well, we would not encourage them to come to church if that's their established position and they're not going to change. And they say, this is how I'm living. And I would say it's better off if you do not come to church. You're not really a person that we would desire to have in church because you're living in sin. You know it and you refuse to get right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have peace with God. So how are you going to have peace? What are you going to bring into the church?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bring trouble into the church.
Sure.
Big trouble into the church. So how important it is
but that's
to be
the challenge.
A peacemaker.
That's the challenge, Pastor. It's like when you read these verses, that in the environmental climate that we live in, there is a big push to be a peacemaker.
Sure.
I mean, right now on the face of the earth, there are 68 wars occurring in some, at some measure, the people are against people. So, okay, you're a Christian. It's a blessing. You should encourage peace. But is that at the, is that at the place of compromise? Is that at the place where I lose my convictions for the sake of peace?
That's not good. How about like somebody is a Buddhist,
okay,
and they want, oh, the Christians and the Buddhists need to get together. Really? Well, you're talking about Christians that are not saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get together with a Buddhist to tell them the gospel of peace and initiate that gospel to them. I'm not going to say, well, we'll take some of your principles and we'll add some of ours. We'll come to some mediation plan and have a unholy mixture. That's what we're going to have. It's going to be an unholy mixture. There's no peace. I have no peace with the devil.
Okay.
There's a war going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at war with him.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's at war with us,
mm-hmm.
but I'm at war with him. I'm at war with my old sin nature. The new man cannot have peace with the old sin nature. Hello?
Yeah.
That cannot happen. That cannot happen. And the new man cannot have peace with a world that is living in wickedness.
Okay.
John says the whole world lies in poneros, evil.
Mm-hmm.
So can I have peace with the world system? No, I cannot.
And that seems to be the push. The push is like the church are supposed to be, we're supposed to be the peacemakers. we're supposed to bring the peace in the world and the peace between the, and you hit something that I like. The gospel is our initiation of peace. Part of peace is two things. Remember, these are the Beatitudes. So we're talking about the character of the kingdom.
Right.
We're not talking about the conduct of the kingdom at this point. We're talking about the character. And the character of peacemaking is the message of the gospel to the world. That's part of me being a peacemaker in the world. It's not that I negotiate peace between one unbeliever and another unbeliever, but this is me bringing the gospel so that, again, we said that the mediator is Christ. But the peacemaker is the Christian because we are armed with the gospel.
We have that message.
That's it.
And we have that message to bring the people. And then if we're bringing the gospel of peace to people, maybe there's an opportunity for people to realize there is no peace in me.
Mm.
I don't have any peace. I have no peace with God. And maybe even if I'm a Christian, I have no peace with God because I'm not receiving from the word. I'm not involved with the church. There's a lot of Christians out there that really, they have this idea that they don't need church. Well, guess what? That's why you don't have any peace.
That's a great comment.
You don't have any peace.
That's a great comment. You talk to people, even in evangelism, and you say, I have no peace. You're born again Christian, you have no peace.
Yeah.
Do you have any relationship with the body of Christ? No, I don't. Mm. I kind of sit at home and I have, you hit it on the head. There's peace with God and there's a peace of God.
Right.
And I can walk in the peace with God as a believer, but that doesn't help me in my day-to-day unless I can walk with peace of God in my life. And that requires the body of Christ. But there's a big, big, big challenge in my life that I want to have peace that's beyond me, that's inclusive of someone else.
How about this? I have peace with God, but not with his body. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought that Jesus' head was attached to his body.
Yes.
Yes, that's pretty much a theological absolute fact.
A physiological fact.
So how can I have
fact?
Peace with God and have no peace in the church? Now, I'm not talking about a church that's totally preaching wrong doctrine.
I get it.
That's not talking about the nature and character of God and has no idea of the finished work.
Sure.
Doesn't know what it means to be born again. I'm not going to have peace. You know, I said to a person one time who was a leader,
mm-hmm.
okay, in a church, I said, let me ask you a question. Should I follow what you say or what the Bible says?
Interesting.
Quiet.
Interesting.
And I realized I could never have peace with him again because he was saying things contrary to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't have any peace with him.
Yeah.
The Bible says you must be born again. He says that means just being baptized. I said, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It means just being baptized. You mean 1 Peter 1:23, James 1:17 and 18, John 3:3-6. That's all. It just means being baptized. Really? I said, the thief on the cross get baptized. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So I can't have peace. I can't have peace with that person because their whole standard of thinking is contrary to the word of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? I can bring peace to that person, the gospel of peace, the message of peace, the word of God, which could give them peace. But if they are totally against and opposed to what God's word says, I cannot have peace with that person. Mm. Now, here's some interesting instances that take place, and there are these sovereign conditions. Say there's a married couple, and one of them gets saved, and the other one is not saved.
Okay.
How do I have peace in that marriage? Well, you're married, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm leaving that person, you know?
Right.
I mean, if the unbeliever decides to depart, mm-hmm. let them depart. But I'm not going to be the one as a Christian that will make that initiation
okay.
and be the foundation of a relationship that's severed, rather than praying that God will bring them to Christ. Mm. But there's going to be some certainly interesting things. How do we bring, okay, we got two children. Are we going to talk? He says we're not talking to them about God. And the wife says we're talking to them about God. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not bringing them to church. I'm bringing them to church, you know. So there can be instances where there will be no peace in a situation like that. Unequally yoked, that can happen. So how about if people are unequally yoked? You can have some people in the church that have no interest in spiritual things. Hmm. They can be sitting in the church. They have no interest in reading. They don't read the Bible. Mm-hmm. They don't participate in any activities in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And in all reality, for me to have peace with them can be a positional peace initiated from me to them. But if they're not responding and they're saying everything I talk about is not anything that they ever want to do, mm-hmm. I can't have peace with them. There's not going to be any peace there. It doesn't mean that they should leave the church or I should leave the church because of it. It just means there's not going to be any peace. Not going to be any peace.
That might be the fellowship of peace. And that's 1 John 1:5, if we have fellowship in the light. But let me ask this verse, because this is what people would say. When you talk about blessed are the peacemakers, and then you have Christ saying in another breath, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Separate mother.
That's what it says up there.
Yes. So how do you – it seems like he's saying two different things out the same side of his mouth. Like, okay, well, you're a peacemaker, but I come to bring the sword.
Well, what does it mean to bring the sword? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you bring the word. And it's not a contradiction at all.
Okay.
At all. Because it is the word of God and the nature of God that will create peace.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring the word, you bring the sword, there's the word of God. I'm bringing the word of God. And certainly it doesn't – by the way, nothing in the Bible contradicts itself.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Maybe it's like you said, the sword of the Spirit is the word, and the word is a bridge to peace.
It is, absolutely.
So when Christ brings the sword, he's actually bringing the instrument by which we're blessed, which is the word of God.
And how about this? There's a sharp two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The sword also cuts away the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts the flesh.
Hebrews 4.
It severs the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just read Hebrews 4:12. Okay, mm. And the word being the sword. And that's important. It has certain things that it is.
Right.
It has certain things that it does.
Right.
And so that's the word of God. And so do I want peace? I go to this church because they're not controversial. They never talk about the importance of evangelism, whatnot. And they don't really teach and preach the Bible, the word,
mm-hmm.
doctrine. They don't apply it in any way.
There's no trouble.
There's no trouble. Of course there's no trouble. Why? By the way, why would the devil cause trouble for people he already controls?
That's a good word.
Yeah. He already controls them. In other words, they don't care about the Bible. They mm-hmm. don't care about the Spirit. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the enemy doesn't have to even bother with them. That's why the enemy will attack fruitful works.
Wow.
Churches that are on fire for God producing fruit, they should expect to get the attacks. Why would you attack something that you already control? You don't have to do that.
But sometimes
you don't have to do that.
You get this, Pastor, you get this idea like, okay, this is a godly church, which is why we experience peace. But the question I would ask is, and this is good, can I have peace in my walk with God in the midst of a troubled world?
Absolutely, I can have peace with God in the midst of a troubled world. Mm. But if a church is, if there's trouble in the church because there's a lack of God's thinking, his mind,
mm-hmm.
his doctrine, his word,
yeah.
there's a lack of his nature and character, then what am I going to gain from that unless God sovereignly calls me to be a witness and a testimony?
Okay.
That was there. But, you know, the Bible does also say in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate. What fellowship does light have with darkness?
So you're listening to the Grace Hour. We'd love to hear from you, to get part of, be a part of the program. You can call in at 410-483-3700 locally or internationally, 1-800-338-7060. We'd also love to hear your questions and your comments. You can reach out to us through YouTube and Facebook and gracehour.org. This is a great topic because many of us right now in our country and in the world right now, there is a subtle push on the church globally to be the peacemaker, that we should come in and we should bring people in and we should be the ones that know the negotiators of peace. And that's part of what a peacemaker is. A peacemaker is someone who preserves peace where it is and restores it where it's not. That's there. Mm-hmm. That's part of our job as believers. We walk in the spirit of Christ. We walk in the spirit of the gospel, and we don't manufacture peace. We're not the mediator of peace, and we also don't maintain false peace. If someone has a false peace, we don't encourage that. But we say that the real peace is found in God, in fellowship with Him, and you and I have fellowship. But especially sometimes in the Church of God, we have disputes, we have arguments, we have fights. And how do I be the peacemaker?
Well, I live and operate in the nature and character of God, if somebody else is not.
Okay.
I don't meet them on their level. They're fleshly. I get fleshly. Mm-hmm. Flesh against flesh, nothing but a flesh war.
Peacemaker.
Flesh party. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to bring in God's life and love and character and nature, which will produce peace.
Mm-hmm.
If I have the gospel of peace, then I have this message of peace. And it's when we think about somebody being a peacemaker, well, what does that mean? Is God the maker of the peace?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just a peacemaker? I got to try to have these people get along, you know?
Yeah.
And one believes this, one believes that, and I'm just trying to get them together to make them get along. But it's really it's the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace because it's the only thing that can bring peace. Yes, there's wars and rumors of wars, and it seems to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's wars around me, and there's wars in me.
Interesting.
Okay, both. Not just around me in this world, but there's wars in me. And it's like, you know, the devil never has any problem with his demons. They're going to operate in absolute submission under him. He doesn't have demons that say, we're not doing that today, you know. We don't care what you think. No, that's not the way it is. Yeah. He's in control. And his whole objective is to get a Christian to live outside of God's nature and character. And by the way, when you begin to receive from God himself, his word, his nature, and his character, you might find yourself at war. Oh, yeah. There's a war going on. In other words, I receive from God's nature, and today I go out on evangelism. And it might cause some people to get angry.
Okay.
But people get angry with me because I'm telling them about the importance of Jesus Christ and the finished work. And by the way, why do people reject the gospel? It's really so simple, isn't it? The gospel is the person of Christ and the work he's done. But if I think I'm more important than God himself and what I do is what matters, there's going to be a problem.
No peace.
There's going to be a problem. Isn't it? There's not going to be any peace at all. So we find ourselves in that situation when we are door knocking or challenging people with the message. I remember one time speaking at an ecumenical breakfast of 700 people. And by the time I was done with the message, and it was a message on grace and love and mercy, by the time I was done with the message, the only people left in that hall was my family. Everybody had left. You know, they did not like to, they didn't want to hear what I had to say about the gospel and the person of Christ. They were religious people, but they didn't know God. And there's an interesting thing. I cannot have peace with a religious person that doesn't know God. Because what they are saying is like, you know, what did Jesus say? How did he make peace with the Pharisees? Your father's the devil, and the lust of your father you will do.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't make peace with them. They didn't want it, except for maybe Nicodemus, maybe Joseph Arimathea. There might have been a few there. There was a few there that listened. Maybe some listened later on. But it didn't stop him from giving them the truth. Mm. Because the truth of God's character and his nature will produce peace. The truth in his nature will produce peace or will be a message of peace that people can receive or reject.
Let's walk up the steps of peace here for a second. Okay, I'm a believer in Christ, and I want to be a peacemaker in my home, in my marriage, in my family, in my church. I want to be a peacemaker because I want that experiential blessing from that. So you're saying, number one, okay, I have to first of all have peace with God myself.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife doesn't want to go to church, so I'm going to keep the peace of my family by not going myself. And I don't go to church because she won't go to church.
That happens.
And, yeah. And so now I've got peace with my wife, but I have no peace with God.
Wow.
Because I've let somebody take away that peace. Mm-hmm. And that was my wife or the husband. The wife says, she's going to go. He's not going to go. He's going to go. She's not going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yes, there's going to be tension and there's going to be a struggle and there's going to be a trial. Mm-hmm. How about one parent is very concerned about the behavior of a child, mm-hmm. right? And one parent says, oh, just let it go. They boys got to be boys, boys and girls got to be girls. And so here's one parent saying it's okay if our son smokes marijuana. Here's the other parent that says this is going to destroy him. This is evil. And guess what? The child's going to be in the midst of what? Two different opinions.
Yep.
And he's going to get confused and he's not going to have peace
no.
at all. Or he's going to gravitate towards peace with the one that agrees with him and be against the one who doesn't agree with him. So you can see that a husband and a wife ought to be one. You know what? I choose never to ever have a dispute or a disagreement or an argument with my wife in front of my children. Mm. I never would want them to see that. Mm. If we're going to have a disagreement or there's going to be a dispute, it'll be behind closed doors.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll come out with a peace. Mm. You know, you start yelling at your wife or yelling at your husband in front of your children. They're looking at the two people they love more than anybody in the world, and they're thinking they don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, what hope is there for me? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on here. So to have peace, I've got to have peace with God.
Okay, that's number one.
Peace with his word.
Okay.
Peace with his church. Peace okay. in the church. Peace with his plan and his purpose.
Okay.
If I don't have peace with God, mm-hmm. how can I be a peacemaker?
Okay.
I'm just bringing a false peace.
Yes.
Peace when there is no peace. The book of Jeremiah. Peace,
yes.
peace, and there is no peace. Because I'm bringing some kind of peace that's based upon human resources,
mm-hmm.
the good side of the old sin nature. Mm. You know, let's get everybody to get together. We'll have a United Nations deal. You know, we'll have the, what is the United Nations? They tried to do that in Genesis what?
10, 11.
10 and 11. 11.
Yep.
And you know what God gave them? They couldn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, tongues was first a curse and then it became a blessing. if it's languages. You're not going to have peace with me telling me tongues is some gibberish out there, you know, some kind of babbling on. Tongues was a language in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. It was an actual, we hear them speak in our own language.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to have peace with people that bring forth that unless you speak in tongues, you're mm-hmm. not spirit filled.
Yep.
Unless you speak in tongues, you're not spirit saved. You are wrong and you are telling not a truth from God, but a lie from the devil.
So peace with God. And now we're talking about, okay, and this is interesting. I think sometimes we tend to live more by our own personal principles than our own, than the biblical principles. We have to separate conviction from opinion.
Yes.
A lot of times in the Church of God, I'm not a peacemaker because my opinion carries the same weight as my convictions, and they're not the same.
Well,
they're not the same.
My opinion will not carry the same weight as my conviction. My opinion will eventually overrule that conviction.
That's right.
Being a person living in my opinion,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
my opinion of Grace Hour, my opinion of the church,
mm.
my opinion of the ministry, my opinion of that Christian that lives next door to me, my opinion.
It happens.
My conviction
happens a lot in the body of Christ. Here's another word about peacemaker. How about forgiveness?
Mm.
Huge word. Many people struggle with peace in the body of Christ because they struggle with forgiveness.
And that means they're struggling with God.
Okay.
Because if you don't have forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
you don't understand that God has forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't understand that God has forgiven you. And if I've been forgiven of all of my sins,
okay,
past, present, and future, how can I not have forgiveness for what somebody is doing,
mm.
what's taking place, mm-hmm. or their attitude towards me?
Mm.
It's really simple answer for the question. You don't know God.
Wow.
In that area, you don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know God because God is a forgiving God, a merciful God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so key. Can you imagine? We've said this before, 60%, if not more, of the Bible was written by three murderers. Moses murdered an Egyptian, mm-hmm. first five books. David murdered Uriah the Hittite after adultery. Psalms, Kings, Chronicles, Samuel, Saul of Tarsus, murdering Christians.
Wow.
It makes them writers of the Bible. What happens? He brings his peace into their life, which has no peace. They have no peace, but they must, first of all, before they can become a peacemaker, you must have the peace of God.
Amen.
Some people are trying to become peacemakers without God's peace in them.
Sometimes it's this mindset, Dash Bailey, of I want to get along. You get along to get along.
Yeah.
You know, or I want to be tolerant. I want to be tolerant. I'm a peacemaker, so I'm going to be tolerant of the way you live your life. I'm going to be tolerant of what you believe. I'm going to be tolerant of what you do for the sake of peace.
Right. Now, I have done, like, you know, working in prisons and doing Bible studies with people that have addictions.
Okay.
Maybe there's things that they're going through in their life and they haven't totally backed away from those things. But I can still give them the gospel of peace.
Okay.
I don't have peace with what they're doing, but I have peace because God loves them. Mm. And I can give them the message of peace from the Prince of Peace, from the Person of Peace, and who did the work of peace on the cross. Mm. See, peace is all about Jesus. You can't divorce peace from Jesus.
Right.
He's the Person of Peace who did the work of peace.
Mm.
You take him out of the whole idea of peace, then you have a human understanding of peace, a religious understanding of peace, a worldly understanding of peace, and not the peace of God. Mm. How's God going to make peace when he returns? I heard from the Bible that when he returns, it's going to be war.
Isn't
that interesting? He's going to return in the rapture to take us unto himself.
Right.
And when he comes back a second time, he's coming with a sword out of his mouth.
Yes.
He's coming to go against the enemy. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, Jesus is going to come back and it's all going to be so peaceful. Well, yeah, there'll be peace after he deals with what he has to deal with, which is the devil, the flesh, and the world.
I've got to be careful when I read that scripture and it says peacemaker, because then I take on the burden of trying to make peace.
Yeah.
And I'm not the peacemaker. Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. He's the mediator.
Yes.
So really, with the gospel, with the word of God, with the expression of the character of God, I am a facilitator of peace.
Message of peace.
With the message of peace, with the life of peace. I'm a facilitator of peace, but I'm not the producer and the manufacturer of peace. It's not our job to keep peace between people.
How about when something starts off and is very – there's a peaceful relationship, and
yes,
then somebody goes the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
And what do? You want to continue to initiate peace.
Hmm.
Obviously, if I get saved, I'm not going to be hanging around with my old friends who are doing ungodly things.
Right.
That's not the thing I need to do. I need to be with people in the church. And by the way, it's interesting how a person can be tested, because you can leave the world and worldly friends, and then you come to the church, and maybe somebody gives you a problem, and then you use that as an excuse to not be in the church either.
There's
trouble everywhere, you know?
You know what?
This
church has no peace. I'm leaving, right? Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, it happens.
And then the reason why you say this church has no peace is because you have turbulence and conflict with people.
Yes.
When the reality is maybe it's not so much that I have to leave because there's no peace, but this is the frailty of man. It's just people being people.
I had some people do this. They took me to court in a certain country.
Okay.
And I had to appear in court before the judge, and there was five of them. And the thing I did before that, I said, could I just do something before we begin the proceedings? The judge says, yeah, go ahead. I went over and shook all five of their hands and said, thank you for helping me to grow. And they looked at me, and they had nothing more to say.
Blessed are the peacemaker.
Yeah, the whole thing was dropped. I made peace with – I didn't care.
Beautiful.
I had peace with God, and I said, "You want to love your enemies, okay? And I took the wind out of their sails.
Yeah.
They had nothing to say to the court, the judge. He just said, thank you, and forgive him if he did something wrong towards you. Now, what would you like to do? And that was the end of the whole court case.
Amen.
It was over. And by the way, bringing peace can end – conflicts.
Interesting.
If it's the peace of God.
Okay.
If it's the peace of God, it can end, it really can end conflicts in a relationship, in a family, whatever it may be. It can end conflicts because you're bringing the a piece of God. Now, somebody says something about...
Let me give you this verse, and I want you to comment on it in light of this. Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men.
Well, as much as lies within me would be the Holy Spirit in me.
Okay.
God in me.
Okay.
Now, will the Spirit have peace with the devil?
No.
No. So if somebody is living in evil,
mm-hmm.
I can't, as much as possible, I can pray for them. That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell them I care about them and I'm concerned. And if you ever have a need, come and see me. But I can't be operating with them.
So peace has boundaries.
Yes, it does.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. I want to read some comments. Our online listeners, Loretta Carter says, good morning to my faithful pastors and teachers of God's holy word.
Amen.
Kia says, amen. Elizabeth says, can you say that peace is my godly settled convictions? Good question.
As long as your godly settled convictions are controlled by God's word.
Okay.
I can have godly... Okay, she said godly, so that makes it okay.
Yep.
Godly, settled convictions, yes.
And she also asked this question, walking by faith and humility produces peace?
Well, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and humility is receiving of God's nature and character.
Okay.
So, yes.
Loretta comes back and says, the believer has inner peace and are always seeking and pursuing peace.
He has inner peace and is always seeking. Of course, we'd always be seeking and pursuing peace. And not with the devil, though.
No.
With believers.
And then Kula says, the truth in his nature gives us peace.
Amen.
Elizabeth again says, in soul winning, obeying God's initiations to me with important things that matter to God produces peace.
As long as it's God's initiation.
Okay.
And not religious works.
Okay. And that famed theologian, Jonathan O'Hara, says,
yes.
You guys are the best. Thanks for words of peace.
Well, we're bringing him peace. I would have a lot more peace if I could see him today.
Well, I'm sure he's buried deep in several theological books in the attic of his house. Elizabeth Hogue again says, forgiveness always puts God first and sees enemies as divine opportunities to pray. That's a great thought. I pray for my enemies or I talk
depends.
About them?
There are some things Jesus says not to pray about.
Okay.
Pray for them, okay?
All right, interesting.
Interesting situations. In other words, there are some sovereign cases. So this idea of peace, I want to have 2,000 and is it 25?
24.
24. Sorry, I blew a year. I want to have such a great peace. I'll do anything to have peace. No, I won't. I won't go opposite of God's truth, word, and convictions.
Hmm.
I won't do anything to make peace. No. In other words, if you would just stop doing what you're doing in the call and purpose of God for your life, we would have more peace. I'd have more peace with my old friends or with worldly people at work. How about this? You go into work and you're a saved person.
Yes.
You're working with unsaved people. Well, guess what? They want to sit around by the water cooler, if there's such a thing as that, and talk negatively about people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not, come on, you got to be with us. We're all together. We all work in the same office, you know. I don't have any peace to be with people who are talking about people. I don't have peace to be with that. I'll talk with you at any time you want, one-on-one. Come on out. Oh, how about this one? It's New Year's Eve. We're going to have a party at our workplace. Oh, you mean you won't even have one drink at New Year's Eve? No, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I'm going to have a hard time even being around people that are engaging in that,
okay?
Because there's a spirit there.
Sure.
You have to be very careful. You know, I know there's different situations you can't do anything about, all right? But just to have peace, you want me to take a drink just to have peace with you so you can have peace that you've got me in the same way of thinking as you are that will develop into the same patterns in life? No, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to smoke dope because everybody's smoking dope. Not going to... I don't care if they say it's legal or it's illegal. That's ridiculous. That should be the most. I believe marijuana is one of the worst drugs to destroy the mind more than even heroin
mm-hmm.
and other drugs because it works on brain cells. THC destroys brain cells. At peace with us, you know. Just you can get high with us. It's once a year. You can come to this party. You can have a drink. It's once a year. You can go. Yeah, okay. How about this? I mean, think about the things that the enemy would try to get us to do.
Sure.
For the idea of a peace that's not from God.
It seems to be that you have to be careful when you take the Bible outside of the character of God. Because when you go outside the character of God, you lose the boundaries.
Yeah.
And then peace at all costs becomes peace with compromise, peace with tolerance. You said it best. It's that manufactured peace. It's that counterfeit peace. And people are quick to accuse the church of not being peacemakers. We're notorious. You're intolerant. You don't want peace. Why can't, because of love, you should tolerate anything. I mean, all for peace, because we're peacemakers.
But peace with God is more important to me than peace with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello? In other words, you want me to have peace with you who are doing this, which is contrary to God's will.
Right.
You're living with your girlfriend, and you want me to have peace with you, and then I have no more peace with God because of that. This is so interesting. I can love you and pray for you, but I can't fellowship with you. I cannot fellowship with you. You say you're a Christian and you're living with somebody that's not your wife and you're not married. Well, guess what? You want me to have peace with you? That's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, a lot of being peacemaker for the believer, it lands in Matthew chapter 18. You go to your brother alone.
Yeah.
I mean, and what I like about that is it doesn't say you wait for your brother to come to you. You go to your brother alone. That is an active peacemaker. You go to your brother alone. It's between you and your brother and God. And hopefully it dies there. And if not, there's graduated steps. But that's what a peacemaker is. It's not like, I'm a peacemaker, so I'm just going to – I have the freedom to whatever happens, all for the sake of peace.
Oh, I will come to your church with you if you'll come to my hell party, or whatever that may be, some religious thing that's not from God.
Yeah.
No. We're not going to have peace based upon me making a decision that's contrary to me having peace with God. So you want me to make decisions which are contrary and will take me away from my experiential peace with God just to have peace with you. No.
Yeah. The world makes peace transactional.
Yeah.
Quid pro quo. You give me, I give you. You do this, I do that. And that's not peace. That's a business transaction. We're negotiating. That's a negotiation is what that is. That's not peace. And God doesn't negotiate with us. He died on the cross as a mediator for peace. So there was no negotiations, right?
At all.
It's like Genesis chapter 17. We weren't really involved in what was happening. We were witnesses, but we were not involved. We didn't make it happen. We didn't produce it. Mm-hmm. And we don't produce, the church does not produce peace. Christian does not produce peace. Peace is a result of our relationship with God. And we live in our relationship with God with the message of peace. And that brings peace to situations. And sometimes what looks like peace can look like war.
I got something that's been going on for thousands of years. Never been peace between Isaac and Ishmael.
That's true.
They were contrary one to another.
Well, that was prophecy. That wasn't just like, okay. And what's interesting about that conflict is this conflict in our world and conflict in our life that prophetically exists.
Yeah.
God said there would be conflict. So why are we trying to make peace where God didn't prophetically said it wouldn't be?
There wouldn't be any peace if two people get married and they both know that one's a believer and one's not. And they begin to ask you for counseling about the situation, the whole thing goes right back to what you did in the beginning.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there. You want to go with 6 years later, how can we make this better?
Mm.
Well, to be honest with you, she's not saved and you're saved. Can't get better.
Wow.
Maybe there could be some measure of some kind of peace in the home per se, but it's not going to be the peace that God would like us to have that passes all understanding. And I like what Paul says in Philippians. I mean, look at what they were going through. I mean, look what was happening. Mm-hmm, the Roman government, the Greeks attacking them, the Jews with the concision.
Mm.
He said, you can have peace with God. That passes all understanding. The way I understand this, what's going on in the church in Philippi, wow.
Yeah, a lot going on.
A lot going on, but I can have a peace that passes what I understand about what's going on.
Amen. So peace is not only possible, it is it's not a goal. It's a fruit.
Yes.
So a peacemaker is someone that has the fruit of peace in their life with God, not someone that has the job of producing peace. It's been a great program, great show. We've been talking about peace. The Beatitudes all week. Thank you for joining us here on the Grace Hour. You can also come and watch us live and in person here in Baltimore, Maryland at Sundays from 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and 6:30 in the evenings on Sunday and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We would love to hear from you and see you. God bless you and have a great, blessed weekend.
Amen.
Peace.